Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast, and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Good to see all of you in worship. Thank you for being here this morning. Before I get going with the message, this is my last message before going on a three-month sabbatical. So this morning I'm gonna preach, and then toward the end I'll give some insights into what I'll be doing when I'm gone, and respond to some of the questions that have been asked in recent weeks. And then Bishop Heather is going to come. Heather, would you stand up and just reveal yourself? This is our Bishop Heather Beatty. She's with us this morning. Thank you for being here. And Heather will come and share a few words and lead us in a sending prayer. If you have your Bible, open up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And as you're turning to Matthew, chapter 11, would you stand with me? Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Some of you recall that I once shared that there is a pattern in my life of hardship, challenge, or transition about every 7 years. You know, this is true. I'm not making this up. Significant things seem to happen every 7 years. Beginning with 1999, the year I graduated high school and repented of my sins and committed myself to the Lord's will and specifically His calling on my life to go into ministry. And then in 2006, 7 years later, I left vocational ministry for a time and also the tradition, the denomination that I grew up in. That was quite jolting. That was a big change. And then in 2013, I returned to vocational ministry and left Texas. Everything that we had ever known, left all of our family, traveled over 1,000 miles, settled in Virginia, and then, of course, here. And then in 2020, that turned out to be the most difficult year of my life, leading and growing through conflict here at the church, but also navigating a global pandemic. So, yeah, I'm wondering what's in store for 2027, if you've already picked up on that. Not there yet, but all of these events were moments when I personally was confronted with the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, which we just read. Listen to these words again. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if you're like me, maybe at times you might experience a sort of cognitive dissonance with this, right? Like maybe you've wondered, really, Lord? Your yoke is easy? Your burden is light? Because I feel like I'm drowning here. I feel like I'm being crushed by the weight of it all. You ever felt that way? It's not that we don't believe the words of Jesus, but there is that dissonance. But you know, over time I've come to realize, while being a disciple in the way of Jesus, and particularly being a pastor today, isn't easy, Jesus has never been the one to add dead weight and soul-crushing pressure to my journey. Not Jesus. Jesus hasn't done that. He's been rather the one to help me lift it and navigate whatever comes as a result, be it my own sin or because we simply live in a fallen world and we're often opposed by the devil. So let's look more closely at what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and unpack his meaning so that we can receive his words and apply them to our own lives. I have it on the screen there for you in the red letters. Start with verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Notice those first words, come to me. While these words are quite obvious in their meaning, we can just as easily move right past them and miss the intentionality and the free will that the Lord is asking us to exercise. He says, come to me. That is, we must make a decision of the will to pursue Jesus purposely when we're anxious, when we're weary, when we're feeling heavy laden with all manner of things, cares of the world, mental distress, depression, exhaustion, worn out from the sensory overload and the demands on our time, etc., etc. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, bring all the stuff that's weighing you down, and I will give you rest. The word for rest in the Greek means refreshment, a ceasing from movement or labor to recover strength. It's actually the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Shabbat or Sabbath. After all, Jesus said he is Lord of the Sabbath, didn't he? And so while taking a day off is good for you, and might I submit to you a subversive act in Caesar's world, it is not in and of itself what we need. What we need is the kind of rest that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. We'll come back to yoke in just a minute. Look at what Jesus says. Learn from me. He says the word for learn here is the same root of the Greek word for disciple. Mathetes is the word. The root of that is to learn. To be a disciple is to be a learner. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. This is an invitation into discipleship. Coming to Jesus, taking upon his yoke. Come to me and learn from me. Listen to that. Jesus knows something that we don't know. He has something that we don't have. He's experienced life because he is life itself, which we don't have without him, but we can have if we will learn from him. Be a learner. And more than learning some interesting facts and information, or even uncovering the mysteries of the universe and answering all of life's most perplexing questions, Jesus offers himself. Did you see this? Do you recognize that? Jesus offers himself. And it's by his meekness, he says, his gentle nature, his humble heart, That is his merciful and gracious reception of sinners, that we are wooed in and ushered into his rest. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. It's by experiencing who Jesus is that we truly find rest for our souls. In verse 30, here's that word again. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What is a yoke? Well, I thought I would help us out with a sermon visual this morning. And not just for the younger folks in the room who don't know what that is. Let's see a real yoke. Seth, are you back there? Seth, can you bring out the yoke? And I texted, this is not my yoke, you know that. I texted Dwayne Asper this week. I said, "I need a sermon visual. Do you know anybody that has a yoke?" And so a friend of a friend, maybe of a friend, had a yoke. This is an older, rather brittle yoke, but there you go. If you can't see that very well, we'll get that on camera there. A yoke. Here's a picture of what this kind of yoke looks like on livestock. You can see paired up there. To cows. What does Jesus mean by "take my yoke upon you"? I think there are a few layers of meaning here, actually. A few layers. Think about this with me. First, notice there are two in the yoke. Two. Paired up and working together. Jesus is trying to convey the partnership that exists between the disciple, the learner, and the master. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, Jesus says. And so this would certainly communicate that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, because you're not having to carry the yoke on your own. Jesus is with you, if not carrying the bulk of the weight himself. But there was another kind of yoke in the first century, one that is still used in some places today. It's a yoke specifically made for humans to carry things. It's called a shoulder yoke. A shoulder yoke allows you to carry heavy buckets full of various things. Helps to, you see, distribute the weight equally across the shoulders and the back. It's possible that Jesus has this yoke in mind as well as this one. He uses here a well-known image as a metaphor for following him in a world of hard, uncomfortable yokes and heavy burdens. What does your yoke look like today? What burdens are you carrying? Can we hear the words of Jesus calling to us to take upon ourselves his yoke? Because it is light. It is easy. A couple things worth pointing out here is that yokes were often thought of negatively. In the Bible, Leviticus 26, verse 13 states that God delivered his people from a yoke of slavery, a yoke of slavery to Egyptian servitude. I won't get a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you feel like you're carrying around a yoke of slavery today. And then again, there are Jewish rabbis that refer to the law of Moses as a yoke. That's, they actually did. They thought the law was a great thing, but they referred to it as a yoke. But they would say a necessary burden that leads to a wise life. Yet listen, church. Jesus says, knowing full well what he means when he says it, as the religious leaders would have heard these words, Jesus says, "Take upon yourself my yoke." My yoke, which feels better on you and is better for you. It's what you were made for, my yoke. Of course, we also can't help but see the connection to the yoke which Jesus himself bore. And my friends, his yoke wasn't for carrying buckets of water. It was carrying the weight of our sins. Yes, the final layer of meaning here is that my yoke, which Jesus is referring to, is the cross beam which he carried across his back for our sake. And this is the wisdom of God for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear what Jesus means when he says, "Take my yoke upon you." He does, in fact, mean that we are to take up our cross and to follow him in hardship and in suffering. But he also means to say that he has gone before us, carrying the greatest weight of all. Jesus has done it. And that this feat wasn't just for winning a future victory, but for overcoming sin and the powers of hell in your life right now. Take my yoke upon you. Someday, you and I, church, will be fully delivered. The weariness and the burdens will be completely eradicated, but for now, Jesus invites us to yoke ourselves to him, to carry your cross and be changed by knowing him. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. To take upon Jesus' yoke, to carry your cross, to be changed by knowing him, thereby entering his rest. Regardless of whatever may come, whatever trial or tribulation awaits us, we can, because we have an invitation from Jesus, enter into his rest right here and right now. So what does that look like in our everyday lives? Sounds good. It's wooing. It's inviting. But what does it look like? How do we enter into this rest? What are some ways that we can find rest in Jesus? Here are a few things. First, we can get our identity from Christ. We should get our identity from Christ and nothing else. We shouldn't try to get our identity from our work because we're not always going to have it. In fact, that's the way it is with things of the world, isn't it? It's all temporary. It's all fleeting. Seeking to get your identity from what you do or how much money you make or your status or what people think of you, that's not where you root your identity. Not if you want to rest. Not if you want to rest. Do you want to rest? Get your identity from Christ. Another way we can find rest in Jesus is to worship and work the spaces. That's what we refer to it here at Grantham, working the spaces with others. You know, we have the public space, which we're in right now. We have social spaces, personal spaces, intimate spaces. Jesus was always and is always calling us out of the public, into the social, into the personal and the intimate spaces to come closer with him. Why? So that we might encounter him and discover rest. Yes, it can get messy, but this is where rest is truly found. Also, we can practice regular quiet times of prayer, confession, and Bible reading. You say, well, what you're talking about there, Pastor David, these are just like fundamentals, and I would say, absolutely. Remember, Jesus said, "Come to me." What else did you expect? This is how we come to Jesus. This is how we discover the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light, by creating space to meet with Jesus, to know him, to know his heart with his people. And so we need to cultivate regular rhythms and routines of prayer, of confession, and of Bible reading, that we might encounter him and know his rest. Also, we can practice Sabbath once a week. Remember that Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 10 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His." It's about your identity, Sabbath is. You see, they say, "Well, I'm not tired. I can keep going." It's not just about your physical strength. It's about who you are. It's about knowing Jesus, detached from your work and the other identity-shaping, forming forces of culture. This is the gift God was giving the Hebrews as they were led out of Egypt, out of slavery, where they worked 24/7. He wants to give them their life back. He wants to give them their true identity. He wants to free them from the yoke of slavery. And folks, it hasn't changed for us. And lastly, if you're able, take an extended period of time to rest, to disconnect from work, to create space for God to speak. Create space for creativity, for new ideas, for clarity, for discernment. When you can't see the forest for the trees, that is the gift of what we would call an extended Sabbath. You might say a sabbatical. And it's because of your kindness and your love for me that you're allowing me to do that. Not only for my sake, but I also think for your sake. Let me talk about my sabbatical for just a moment. If you've not seen it by now, it's gone out in various places. I've shared a link that's on our website. You can see that on the screen there in front of you. It's on the Our Pastor page. There's a link at the bottom. You can open up a document that has some questions and answers about what a sabbatical is and what I'll be doing on mine. Let me just share a few of those things with you. I still am asked these questions and have been in the past month. So what is a sabbatical? Well, the primary purpose of a sabbatical is for a prolonged season of self-care and Sabbath rest. In the Christian tradition, it is for devoting a period of time to personal reflection, renewal, and rest. And typically sabbaticals are anywhere from 1 to 6 months long, but 3 months is the standard practice. So why do pastors get sabbaticals? You may have heard it. Professors, they get sabbaticals. And why pastors? Well, you know, I have to say, this is probably the only time I've ever said what I'm about to say to you. I don't typically come up here to talk about myself or to talk about my job and my role, but I want to give you a few insights into what the life of a pastor is. Maybe you're like my 11-year-old son and you just think, I just preach sermons on Sundays, so what else am I doing with my time? Pastoral work is extremely stressful. And a lack of physical and spiritual rest is especially, as you know, hazardous to the effectiveness of just living, but specifically pastoral ministry. And of course, many people work hard and have stressful jobs. But pastors carry responsibility that's greater than most occupations. In fact, there was a few years ago, it was during the pandemic, I remember seeing an article that said like the top 5 most stressful jobs in the U.S. And I remember one of them was a college president, I thought of Kim Phipps, and the other was a pastor, along with other first responders. Pastors carry a heavy weight. Due to current technology, we're accessible to hundreds of people all at once. You don't see my inbox. You don't see my Facebook messages. You don't see my text messages. And that's all the time. We're held to the highest standard of mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Rightly so. The work of a pastor is sacred. After hours of study each week, we minister through the preaching of the scriptures in worship, and every week that is a spiritual exercise for me because first it gets applied to my life before I assist you in helping you apply to yours. I calculated this up just for fun. Since I began in 2016, I have preached upwards of 350 sermons, You average out about 15 hours a week for prep. That's over 5,000 hours spent in sermon prep. That's 218 days of study. Also, we marry, we bury, and we baptize. You think about those experiences and walking with people through that. We give counsel, we cry with others, we confront sin. And we not only carry the burdens of our own families, but we also carry the stress and burdens of dozens within the church at the same time. In addition, pastors are highly visible, or as I said, always on call, and we're easy targets for the frustrations and criticisms of others. As spiritual caretakers and shepherds of the church, pastors are also targeted by spiritual evil. And a lot of Sunday mornings, I feel that. And sometimes you'll hear me ask you for prayer. That's because that's what I'm experiencing. The challenges that come with this work, it never ends. And so when pastors aren't healthy, as you can imagine, it impacts our families. The staff, it impacts the staff, it impacts you, because you're not getting my best. And without proper rest and soul care, pastors face an increasing risk in burnout. And so it's wise and it's good to be proactive and for pastors to take on sabbaticals. You also see there that the Brethren in Christ, our denomination, recommends them. Full-time pastors are eligible after 7 consecutive years of ministry. And here are a couple of questions that I've been getting more recently. What is the purpose of your sabbatical? What are you going to be doing? As I said, some pastors or academics may use their time to write a book, begin doctoral work, so begin maybe a new academic degree, or travel to Europe. My sabbatical this first time around is primarily designed to be a time of personal rest and renewal. After all, overall, my first 7, almost 8 years now at Grantham have been a real blessing to me and my family. Overall, I'm in a good place. I'm just tired. And there's also been some difficult days, as many of you know, especially through 2020 and 2021. And now that these challenges are behind us and the church is in a healthy place, I feel that it's a good time to cease from pastoral ministry, to get my life back, to reflect, to rest, and to know the easiness of the Lord's yoke. What will you be doing on your sabbatical, Pastor David? Well, a few things. I'm going to be sleeping more. Praying more, reading more, and listening to music more. I plan to work around the house, work in the garden, go on hikes, to journal, to read my Bible for the sole purpose of meeting with God. I'll also continue to meet regularly with my spiritual director and process some things that I'm experiencing on this time away. And I have 3 major trips planned. The first one is to go to the L.A. area. I have another pastor friend who lives there. I'm going to stay with him. I'm also going to meet with a consultant who works with pastors and do what is called life planning and just reflect on my journey so far and how God is leading in the future and where I should be spending my time in the next chapter of ministry here at Grantham. I'll also be going to Texas, taking an extended trip there. If you can believe it, my wife and I have never been anywhere overnight without our children. So we plan to leave our boys with the in-laws. I have reserved a bed and breakfast in a small historic East Texas town, and we're going to go back and to the place where we met and were engaged and went to college, because we've not been back since then, and sort of retrace our first steps together. My last big trip will be to Cincinnati. Our denomination has a general assembly there this year. And so I will start to phase back in about that point, but still make a family vacation out of it. I will be watching a lot of baseball. Really, I'll be catching an Angels game when I'm in California. We'll see a Phillies-Rangers game, and then Rangers-Padres, and then Reds-Marlins. So I'll be doing a lot of baseball, watching a lot of baseball. My boys will be playing a lot of baseball, so that's good. I haven't been able to do that in a long time. Who will be leading the staff in the congregation? Pastor Melissa, our discipleship pastor, will be the acting senior pastor, and you, as you know, are in good hands. And of course, our care teams, ministry will continue meeting as needs arise and make sure that all of your needs are met. Who will preach on Sunday when you're gone? Well, Pastor Melissa will preach some. We've already got series planned for May and then again for June and July. But also other members of the congregation. In fact, there's not a single outside speaker. What does that say about Grantham Church? That we've been able to fill the pulpit with folks within our congregation. So you're not going to want to miss that. This will be a great opportunity for you to hear from others in our church as we focus on living for the glory of God, our first series, and then the fruit of the Spirit in the second one. Lastly, how can you pray for me and my family? You can pray that God would help me to enter into His rest and experience His yoke. The first week or two will feel like vacation, and after that, it's unknown territory for me, folks. And I'm guessing that may be a bit of a challenge. So I ask that you pray for me as I enter into that time, and I'm intentional with my schedule. Pray for clarity and discernment, as I said, in my calling for the next season of ministry. And pray that God would protect my family, and this time would be peaceful. This wasn't something I had shared before, but over Christmas I had a family member that took their own life. And I'm just saying, these are the kinds of things that pastors experience and go through. It's hard to turn things off. So if you will pray, for more reasons than one, that there will be no crises, that everything will be smooth sailing, and that we can turn off, disengage, and rest, we would greatly appreciate that. And before I leave, I am planning in the next couple of days, Tuesday would be my last day in the office, to send a schedule of prayer requests to our Tom George, the leader of our care teams, specifically the prayer chain. If you're not on the prayer chain, you need to get on the prayer chain, because he's going to send out scheduled requests to remind you not only I'm on sabbatical, but ways that you can pray for me at that point in my sabbatical. So I'd appreciate it if you would do that. Finally, here are some questions for you to help you reflect and to help you to respond on what we've heard about the yoke of Christ this morning. Question number one, am I restless or feeling burdened in some way? Why don't you think about that for just a moment? Are you feeling restless? Are you feeling burdened about something? What is it? And ask yourself, if so, am I seeking rest for my soul in Christ or in someone or something else? Number two, what would it look like for me to yoke myself to Christ so that I can experience more of His grace, joy, and freedom in my life? What would it look like for you to pair yourself up, to take up the yoke of Jesus and let Him walk with you? What needs to change in your life? What can look different? Folks, this is an invitation to take up the yoke of Christ. And then number three, how is the Spirit inviting me to bring my weary heart to Christ, to lay my burdens down at His feet, and to rest in His love for me? As we often say at Grantham, what is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? Church, let's hear the invitation of Jesus to come to Him. If you're anxious, if you're feeling heavy, laden, and burdened, come to Him. Take up His yoke, for it's easy, and for His burden is light. Before we close in prayer and hear from our bishop, Heather Beatty, let's listen again to the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, this time from the Message. The Message reads, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. We thank you for the promise that we can take up the yoke of Christ and be comforted, to be relieved, to be assisted, to be cared for. Lord Jesus, help us to lay down the yoke of slavery. Help us to stop. Help us to resist the identity-forming forces of the world. And remind us, Lord, that the church will be okay without us. Remind us, Lord, that the world will continue to turn. Remind us, Lord, that there were many before us and many who will come after us, but that also we are loved by you more than words can express, more than we can imagine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for welcoming us, for forgiving us, for extending your mercy and grace to us. For each person in this room, Lord, speak to our hearts and show us what it looks like to lay down our worries and burdens and take up your yoke. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, Amen.